Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love him again. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. God, we thank you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving this morning. Lord, we enter your courts with praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the church family, God. Thank you, God, for a place where I can go and feel you, Lord, and hear from you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful salvation that you've delivered in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you can be seated today. And it is so good to be here. I'm honored, of course, to be with you in church again. And it's good to be in God's house anywhere. But it's especially good to be in God's house in Sparks. We love this church already. We've just had a great time. And God has great things in store. I know. We're just getting started. We're just getting this ball rolling. Hallelujah. God has great things in store. And I believe it. I'm trusting God for what he's going to do. But the way that that church is, that God intended his church to be, it was never intended to be a funeral home. It was never intended to be, just a solemn, and I don't know, we take church seriously, and we do have we understand this is a serious thing. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's a joyful thing to come to the house of God. It's a joyful place. It's a place where sometimes we do cry. We do, we feel convicted. There's things that God has to bring to the surface in our lives so that we can repent of them and make it be remitted. But all in all, it's a joyful thing. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, when we read about the Queen of Sheba, and the Sheba, that just means south, I guess. I heard somebody say one time, Queen of the South. She was from some kingdom south, I guess, where Israel was, and she heard of the goodness of the kingdom of Solomon and his wise counsel. In fact, she made a trip. She took trains and camels and not choo-choo trains, but a train of donkeys and pack animals, and she loaded up her household and headed up just to see for herself if what she had heard was true. Right. And I know that you're familiar with the story. She got there and she said, wow. She said, the half was not even told me. She said, I heard about it. I heard. And they told me how good it was. They told me what was there and just the feel and the counsel and all that was available. They told me about it. She said, but until my eyes saw it, until I experienced it for myself, I realized that the half was not told. Hallelujah. That's how the house of God is. Right. When the sinner, when the visitor comes in, we hope that they can just feel it. We hope that they can experience something for themselves. Yeah. But I want you to notice that the thing that really caught her attention the most, the thing that really just put a hook in her, is after that, you notice what she said. She talks about the ministers and their apparel and the cupbearers and all the way that the king was lifted up and the exaltation of the king. But then she goes on, she says, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants. Hallelujah. Which stand continually before them. The thing that really got her attention was that, hey, these folks aren't doing this because they have to. These folks aren't doing that. And singing and praising and ministering just because they're forced to. But there's a joy that's there. They're happy to be doing it. They're happy to be standing. Come on, this ought to be the happiest place in the city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the visitor comes in, I hope they leave with a sore shoulder because their hand has been shook so many times. Like their face hurts because they've smiled so much and they've had so many people come up to them and greet them and met so many new friends as well as felt the move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, are you happy to be in God's house? Are you happy to be in God's house today? Say it often, but what did David say? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I was glad. Hallelujah. Sister Clark, if you'd like to come get ready to sing today. And we were getting our girls ready for church just a few minutes ago. And I told Autumn, I said, Autumn, We've got three churches today. And we're going to go to church, and then we're going to go to another church and come back to church. And she went, wow, that's terrible. That's what she said. Oh, no, it's not. I'm glad. Hallelujah. I'm glad. That's a four-year-old's perspective. You know, it's three times she's got to sit still and do nothing. But I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. Hallelujah. It feels good. It feels good to be in the house of God. It feels good to be where there's joy and oppression and renewing and there if there's any pain or sickness or illness. I can believe it for the Lord today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We get a drummer today. And hallelujah. God, listen to your pastor first. No, I'm just playing. Let's worship the Lord today while my wife sings. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't know what she's going to sing either. Anticipation. Hallelujah. Let's worship with her today.
Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I love you, God. I'm thanking you, Jesus.
He is my lighthouse.
Yes.
In the midnight, he is a shelter.
Speaks of its pastor and the shepherd that has a burden for it, into your worship and consecration, even when he's not here, and it speaks great things of your pastor. And Brother Newman, I give a great honor to you. Thank you for the invitation to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I give honor also to my wife and my beautiful bride that God's given me. I appreciate her walk with God and her willingness to be used of God. And all of you church family, if there's any guests or visitors that are here, Lord bless you. And you're in the right place.
Right.
I'm walking to the right place today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. A lot of places that you could be, even a lot of buildings that might have steeples on top, might call themselves a church or a spiritual gathering of some sort. But not every gathering of people is necessarily God's church. And I don't say that to be mean or to be rude, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost moves. And you're in a place like that today. Hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you need God in your life, it can happen today. It can happen today. You surrender yourself, your life, your will, your future to Him. And He's faithful. He's faithful. He'll forgive you your sins. And He'll fill you with His Spirit today. In Jesus' name. John chapter 11, verse number 20. If you'd like to read with me a few verses here, you'll recognize this passage. I want to, in Jesus' name, bring something out of it to you that the Holy Ghost has laid upon my heart. And John chapter 11, verse 20 says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, would you speak to somebody today? I pray that somebody here that's hurting, somebody here, Lord, that's searching and looking for an answer for something that's real, that they can build their life upon. God, let them feel it today. Let them feel the Holy Ghost. Let them see, Lord, that you're here, that you love them. And God, that there's an answer that's available today and this morning. In Jesus' name, would you speak to us, God? Talk to us, Lord. Let your will, not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated for just a few moments today. And how many know that the God that we serve, He is a God of life?
Amen.
And what's the opposite of life?
Death.
He's not a God of death.
Right.
He's not a God of destruction. And even while we understand that there are such things as the wrath of God, there are such things as the judgment of God. In fact, we need look no further than even the book of Revelation and the things to come and the end of the world. And you see judgment poured out. You see in the Old Testament, we see where a judgment was poured out upon people that had turned themselves over to idolatry or to iniquity or shed the blood of innocence.
And
that judgment is real. That wrath is real. We read in the Revelation of a time of great wrath and that falls. However, he is not, and this is an important distinction to make, that while the wrath of God is real, he is not a God of wrath.
Right.
And while the judgment of God is real, he's not a God of judgment.
That's
in
good.
Fact, we find where the fundamental nature of God, the identity of God, is one of a creator. It's one of renewal. In fact, many times we read where even the very breath of God is considered the giver of life. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Job chapter
chapter 33, verse 4, it said, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Hallelujah. Come on, he's a God of rock. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of healing. In fact, when in our text, when Martha kind of she misunderstood what Jesus was saying, and when he said, "Hey, your brother's going to live again," and of course that's the this is the setting of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and she says, "Oh, I know, God, that someday at the last day that he's going to rise in that resurrection." And what was Jesus' response to her? He said, "Hey, don't you know I am the resurrection?" He didn't say, "I bring resurrection." He didn't say, "I give resurrection." He said, "This is who I am. This is my identity. This is what I identify as. I am life. I am resurrection." Come on, God doesn't just want to give you life today. He doesn't want to just bring to you life, but he is life. Hallelujah. He is life. If you're dead, if you're in that pit of despair today, come on, remember, it's this world that exists in death. Yeah. I said to be in sin is to be in death. We read in James chapter 1, verse 15, it said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the only end that sin brings. I said, that's the only end that sin brings. Come on, can you preach with me a little bit this morning? I feel this. I know it's an hour earlier. In fact, right now it's right after 10:30. So all those people that didn't set their clocks ahead, they're going to start trickling in about right now. And you know, our biological clock's all messed up. And I didn't even drink coffee this morning, but this is exciting. I said, this is exciting. Because God is life. Hallelujah. Nobody denies the allure, the attraction that sin can have. Nobody, I don't even deny that you couldn't have fun, perhaps, in a tavern somewhere, sitting on a bar stool. I don't deny that maybe there's an appeal to your flesh that could be made in a dance hall somewhere. That there truly, surely is entertainment, perhaps, for the flesh in the thing that the world has to offer. You go downtown in that strip through Reno, and you see all of the edifices that have been built for just that purpose, to give satisfaction, or at least an attempt at satisfaction for the flesh. Truly, perhaps, there is pleasure in sin. But we read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Come on, that's the key point. That's it, it's for a season. Any pleasure that sin has, young people, any pleasure that the world offers, it's not lasting. It's for a season. You see, once that stupor is over, once that high is gone, once that one night stand is over, it's worse than it was in the beginning. It's back to despair. In fact, even a further, deeper pit of despair than we began. Sin brings death. Sin brings death. When sin is given ultimate reign in a life, there's only one possible outcome. I said there's only one possible outcome, and that is death. Because lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death. The opposite of God. It brings death. Sin brings physical death. I don't think there's anybody here that would argue that point. I don't think anybody here would argue that against the adverse effects of a life of alcoholism and drug abuse, and how surely people that live righteously on average live shorter lives than those that live a self-control and temperate lifestyle. I think we're all aware of that, but I'm not talking just about a physical death this morning. I'm not talking just about a death that when your heart ceases to beat. But sin brings emotional death. Sin brings despair. It brings raised in atmospheres where they were taken advantage of, and because of other people's sin, they grow up with feelings of guilt, and they feel dirty and unclean and unwanted, and that nobody can love them. Come on, that's death. I'm preaching about death today. There's people, when they come to church for the first time, they're living in that. They're consumed with that guilt, not even of things that they've done, but things that the world did to them, things that the devil did to them, things that sin brought a death. Come on, it brought emotional death. That's what sin brings. It brings physical death. I'm preaching today. I feel this. Sin brings emotional death. Sin brings a spiritual death. It brings a separation from God far worse than any physical death. It brings a separation, and you see, even worse than spiritual death, that separation from God, it can bring one more death far worse, and that's an eternal death. We read in Revelation 20 and 12, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Friend, you don't want that death. I said you don't want death. I know that right now the glitter, the glamour of the world, I know right now that looks appealing, right now that pulls on you, but it's death. And there's that eternal death, there's that death that's waiting, that death.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Our culture,
hallelujah.
The last decade, and I know that the world's been in darkness a lot longer than that, but our generation has become obsessed with death. The living dead. What were the books? There's all the teen books and the Hollywood productions of the last decade, 15 years. Vampires came into popularity in the Twilight Saga and zombies and zombie apocalypse. And people that are, I hope they're joking. I hope they think that it's just a joke. But they're preparing for a zombie apocalypse that's going to come upon them and the living dead. And they're obsessed with this. And of course, a lot longer than that, there's been cultural celebrations of death. And even in Latin cultures, there's Dia de la Muerte, Day of the Dead. And we have the same thing in our culture. One of you kids, what's a day that they celebrate death?
Halloween.
In fact, that word Halloween, hallows, means a hallow man, a dead man. Ween or Eve, it means a night of the dead. Hallows Eve is what it initially was. And they're obsessed with this. We look at this. And I don't want to sound cheesy today, but if I could make a point, really, they're almost half right. And maybe it's an attraction to those that are like me because they feel dead on the inside. I don't know what it is, why it drives us to have a fascination with death. But I'm afraid that sometimes we're surrounded with the living dead. I hope that some of you here today, maybe when you came, you're honest enough to recognize, hey, I might be alive in my body. And Brother Clark reached out, let me see your wrist. Yeah, I feel a pulse. You're not dead.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. We're glad you got a pulse. But if Brother Clark reached out, if somebody took a stethoscope and listened, they'd be able to hear a heartbeat. Come on, you're alive. As far as this body's concerned, if anybody's dead here, raise your hand. We'll make sure we call a hearse to come pick you up. But no, I think we're all alive. But you can be alive on the outside and be dead on the inside. You can be dead. You can be dead in sin. In fact, we read about those who sin in you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know what that scripture right there does? It gives me hope that even if you are dead, even if death has Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. A life, but even emotional death has taken its toll. I don't know if it's for your own failures, for something that you did that now you're repaying, or maybe it's that somebody else did, and sin has had its way, and now there's nothing but depression, and now there's nothing but anxiety, and now there's nothing but pain and hurt and doubt. There's death. There's death. Oh, but you came to the right place today. I said you came to the right place. You came to a place where there's a life giver. There's one that says, I will give. It's who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. The life. The life. Hallelujah. Through him, able to walk in newness of life. The Bible said we don't have to walk in sin any longer. We don't have to exist in death any longer. Romans 6 and 23. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 4 and 14, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. What water is he talking about? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit. It's when once you've repented of your sins, and like this brother's going to be, you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the washing away of that death, the washing away of those sins. God can feel you. He said that if you've been planted in the likeness of his death, when you're buried in baptism, you can rise also in the likeness of his resurrection. He can fill you with his Holy Ghost. He'll fill you. Life. Life. Life on the inside. No longer dead. No longer dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we got to be tired of death. We got to be tired of death. We got to want this life. How about you? I want life.
Amen.
I want life. There's something. Oh God, He's unwilling to resurrect because they're happy being dead. And if they're not happy, at least they're content being dead. They're satisfied to some degree with death. I don't understand that. I wouldn't want to live life miserable. I wouldn't want to live life with no hope, with no future. I wouldn't want to live life hating myself. I wouldn't want to live life hating everything that I'm caught up in. But some people, they're presented with God, they turn away from God, and they go back to their death. They go back to their squalor. Oh, but I'm tired of death. I said, I want life today. I'm sick of death. Depression, death, addiction, death, perversion, death, a life without purpose, death. But what did Jesus say? He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. Hallelujah. I'm speaking the Holy Ghost to you. It is life for you. It's just like death brings physical death, emotional death, spiritual death, eternal death. What does God bring? What does the Holy Ghost give? It gives physical life. It gives emotional life. It gives spiritual life. It gives eternal life. The God of resurrection. Hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what I want. Young man, young woman, that's what you want. Come on, career age, moms and dads.
Yes.
That's what you want. You want life.
Yes,
you don't want. You don't want death.
Whoa.
You don't want death. Hallelujah. But God only feels those who want it.
Right. Yes.
Want it. That resurrection, the Spirit of new life, of rebirth, the Holy Ghost. I know that you need it. Without it, you're dead. Without it, you have no hope. I promise you, without it, you're never going to be happy.
Right.
Never.
Right.
The devil can lie to you and say, well, this isn't for you. Just come back to me. Come back to the way you were. Quit trying.
All right.
Come on, the devil's a liar. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you that. If you leave this without the Holy Ghost, you're never going to be happy. You're always going to exist. There's no life outside of the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
There's no life outside of God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life.
That's right.
I am. That means if you look for it for life anywhere else, you won't find it.
Right.
This is where it is.
Right.
This is where it is. You got to sow into this. Galatians 6 and 8 says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Yeah.
But he that soweth to the Spirit, it's a capital S, the Holy Ghost, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know what I like about that passage is that it lets me know that if I'm one that God resurrected, and then I let sin and death begin to creep back into my life.
Right.
And I let death begin to have its way again with me. He said there's regeneration.
Uh-huh.
Revival. Hallelujah. That's what this is about. When he says, I am the resurrection. What do you think revival means? To revive.
Yeah.
To make live again. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the God of revival. I'm the God of life. Hallelujah. I'm the God that can regenerate and can renew. Oh, come on. Is there any death that's crept back into your home? Is there any death that's crept back into your mind? Any depression that's crept back? Hallelujah. There's a God still of renewing and resurrection and life even for you today. Yes. Hallelujah. Sir, every man, every young person, every soul under the sound of my voice, it's here for you today. In Colossians 2 and 13, says that you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. Sister Clark, would you come with music today? You being dead. When we come to church, we've got this pride deal that we don't want to let anybody know what's really feeling or what's really going on the inside. You know, we want to put up the show and we've got it all together. But for our own sake today, I wonder, could we be honest enough with ourselves to admit, is it life on the inside?
Yeah.
Or is it death?
Yeah.
Is it life? Did I walk here in death? Is death what I go back to when I leave the house of God? Not on Sunday, but on Monday. When I go to the job on Tuesday, is it life having its way? Is it life being manifest in me, in my actions and my thoughts? Or is it death? Is it death? If it is death today, let me remind you of a God of resurrection. God of resurrection. Hallelujah. Give us life. Give me life, Lord. Give me life. Somebody that's held back tears for years because they're unwilling to even feel emotion. They block themselves off even to emotion. But they're just dead on the inside. But God, would you send life? Come on, life has victory over death. I said life has victory over death. It's not the other way around. It's not death that's more powerful. It's not death that has the authority, but it's life. I said it's life. Would you say it with me today? Can I read another scripture that proves my point? 1 Corinthians 15. We often use this scripture in the context of when we go to heaven, we pass the mortal coil, maybe perhaps in the coming of the Lord. We use it in that context. But I believe it's even the appropriate context this morning. He said, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What did we read in Galatians 6? He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Here he said, when you walk in, you sow to the flesh your whole life. You've sowed to the flesh up until everything that you've done has been to make you happy. It's been to fill your belly. It's been to make you feel better. You've done what you want to do. You've done it your way. You've done it your will. And what have you reaped of that? Corruption. Corruption, he said, so then when we were in corruption, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption. What's that incorruption? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the righteousness of God. It's a new way of living. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of talking. It's when you've been buried in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and you rose a new creature. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And this mortal, this flesh, this mortal shall I put on immortality. I know that means an eternal life with God. But what also is immortality is the Holy Ghost. It's that spirit of life. When this mortal was put on immortality. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, do it for somebody this morning. I pray somebody that's miserable. Somebody that's here, but they cried themselves to sleep at least one time this week. Somebody that's here, but they're dead in depression. And they're dead in trespasses and sins. When this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Life. There is no victory in death, but there's victory in life today. There's victory in life while we sing this song. These altars are open. If you want life today, if you even want renewing today, if you need God to have His way in your life, come on, this is where you come. This is where you come. It's here. It's here. We read in Ezekiel 47. We read about a river of water flowing from the altar. Hallelujah. A river of life flowing from the altar. Hallelujah. God, I want that life today. I want that life today, God. I kneel right here at this altar. Come on, we'll show. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, friend. Come on, guest. Come on, visitor. Hallelujah. God's calling you to life today. God's calling you to life today. Hallelujah. The joy, the happiness, the peace today. Now's the time. Now's the time to say, God, I need today. I need life today. I'm tired of death, God. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of this addiction. I'm tired of this perversion. I'm tired of my flesh having its reign in me. And Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I can't go one more day without the Holy Ghost. One more day without a touch. I can't go one more day without life. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, friends. Every hour. Sing it again. Sing it as a prayer. I need.
You have